Our Bible reading today is taken from the book of the Psalms. We're reading some verses from Psalm number 40. And then we'll also be turning over to 1 Peter chapter 2, reading some verses there, beginning at the verse 3 of that chapter. So if you'd like to mark those two portions in your Bible, Psalm 40 and then 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll commence our reading at Psalm 40 and the verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together today. Psalm 40 and the verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Then turning over to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're reading from verse 3 of the chapter, just going down to the end of verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 6, and the prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. Now, the text of Scripture I want us to look at today is verse 5 there of 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll read that verse with you again. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, in this epistle here before us, the Apostle Peter is encouraging the matter of Christian charity and compassion amongst believers who were young in their faith. To help to develop this grace among them, he tells them to lay aside malice and guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. You see that in verse 1 of the chapter when he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. He then also tells them to feed their soul and to feed their mind upon the Word of God. In other words, to think much and meditate much upon God's Word. Look at verse 2 of the chapter. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Then in verse 5, the words of our text today, he reminds them that they were all part of God's family, if you like, part of God's church or his spiritual house, as is mentioned here in our text. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Now, as it was with the Lord's people in the day of the Apostle Peter, so it is the same with every child of God. All who are saved are part of God's family, part of his church. As is mentioned in our text, all who are saved are part of God's spiritual house. Indeed, this is a truth that the believer must ever keep before them. Yes, the remembrance of this truth is vital for the maintaining of a good testimony, but it is also vital for the encouragement of Christian compassion and charity amongst the people of God. Indeed, speaking upon the very importance of this matter of Christian compassion and charity amongst God's people to his own disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 13, verse 35, he says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And there he tells us that Christian compassion and charity amongst God's people, it is but one of the marks of their salvation and of God's saving grace and power in their life. Believer, if Christian charity is to be nurtured, indeed to maintain, be maintained in our lives as God's people in our day and generation, then we must always remember that we belong to God's family, that we belong to the church of Christ, that we are members of God's spiritual household, as is mentioned in our text. That being the case, then I believe it's important that we consider the subject of God's spiritual house that is set before us here in our text today in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 2. When it says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house." First of all, I want you to see here the foundation of God's spiritual house. And the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son. Look at verse 3 and verse 4 of the chapter. It says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." And there you see how verse 4 tells how Christ is a precious foundation. In other words, he is the one who is chosen by God to be the foundation of his church and of his spiritual house. Think of the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. There it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And the foundation of God's church, his spiritual house, it is not Muhammad, as is taught by the false religion of Islam. It is not Peter the apostle, as is taught by the false religion of Roman Catholicism. No, the Bible makes it very clear and very definite that the Lord Jesus Christ alone and another is the foundation of his church, the foundation of God's spiritual house. Child of God, keep this truth ever before you, that Christ and no one else is the foundation of God's church, the foundation of his spiritual house. The Bible tells us how sadly in the church at Corinth there was God's people there and they had lost sight of this truth. Therefore, some became followers of Peter, some became followers of Paul, and some became followers of Apollos. And this in turn led to animosity and division amongst them as the people of God. Child of God, to avoid falling into this pitfall of the devil, this pitfall of division, even with other fellow believers in Christ, always remember this, that Christ is the foundation of his church, that Christ is the head of God's spiritual house. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens even in the work of God, keep this truth on you, always before you. As it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, believer, ever be looking unto Jesus, it says, the author and the finisher of our faith. My Jesus Christ alone is the foundation of God's spiritual house. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 there, it says that Christ is indeed the chief cornerstone of this house. It says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." In other words, he is the one that upholds God's church. He is the one that upholds God's spiritual house. You think of the very testimony of Christ himself in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 and the verse 18. He says of himself, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ is the rock of his church. He is the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone. Again, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, there in the verse number 4, you'll see there that Christ is described as a living stone. It says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. And that speaks of durability. It speaks of life. And my Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, he is the one who died upon the cross for the sins of his people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, but he also rose again the third day according to the scriptures, according to God's plan, never to die again. He is alive forevermore. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And this glorious fact that the Lord Jesus is alive forevermore, it means that he will maintain the cause of his church on earth. It means that he will preserve his church, his family, his household, even unto eternal life, even unto everlasting glory in heaven itself. You think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 46, verse 5. There the psalmist is speaking specifically about God's family, his church, his spiritual house. And this is what the psalmist says about God's spiritual house. He says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. And that speaks of the Lord preserving his house, his church, his family. Again, think of the words of Christ in John chapter 10, verse 20. It's speaking of all who belong to his household. He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There you see that those that are in the house of God, the household of faith, God's spiritual house, are preserved unto everlasting life, preserved unto everlasting glory in heaven itself. Child of God, as you would seek to go forward in your Christian life, as you would seek to go forward in the work of God in these days in which you live, always remember this, that Christ alone, no one else, is the foundation of God's spiritual house. Christ alone is the foundation of his church, of the family of God and the household of faith. Yes, we see the foundation of God's spiritual house. But then the second thing I want you to notice from our verse is the membership of God's spiritual house. Look again at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. And there you see that God's spiritual house, in other words, the church of God, the family of God, it is made up, it says there, of lively stones. Who are these lively stones? These lively stones are but a description of God's people. You think of a stone in and of itself, it is dead. It is innate, but a lively stone has life. And this reminds us how the child of God, the believer, has been quickened by God, the Holy Spirit, unto newness of life in Jesus Christ. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 4, there Peter is speaking about those who are members of God's family, his church, his spiritual house, and he says that God has made them to be a partaker, he says, of the divine nature. In other words, every child of God, all who are in the household of faith, God's spiritual house, they've been quickened by the mighty power of God, the Holy Spirit, in their heart and in their life. Turn with me in your Bible, please, back to Ephesians chapter 2. Just back a few books in your Bible, back to Ephesians chapter 2. And look with me, please, at verses 1 to 3 of this chapter. Here Paul is writing to those who were saved, those who are members of God's spiritual house in the church at Ephesus, and he describes what God has done for them. He describes what they were like before they became members of that household of faith. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." There you see that once these people were under the dominion of Satan. But then we're told in verse 1 how they were quickened. They were made alive unto God through the Holy Spirit of God. And thus they were saved by God's grace and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 8 and 9 of the same chapter. Paul says to them, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There you see how they were quickened by the Holy Spirit. And they were brought to that point in their life's experience when they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't saved by any work or merit of man or of self, but by grace alone through faith in Christ alone. Dear child of God, this is how it has been with you and I also. Yes, in our unsaved state, you and I, we were dead in trespasses and in sins, but by the quickening power of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we were born again and were enabled by God to repent of our sins and to lay hold upon Christ as Savior by the hand of faith. You look at what Peter says there at the end of verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 2, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "He that believeth on him shall not be confounded." In other words, by trusting Christ for salvation, by resting on his finished sacrifice alone for salvation, you and I are saved. We have not been confounded. We have not been disappointed. In other words, God has been gracious to us. He has been so merciful to us and in trusting Christ as Savior. What has God done for us? Dear child of God, through faith in Christ as Savior, God has not dealt with you after your sins, but rather he has forgiven all your sins. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Believer, that's what God has done for you in Christ. By you putting your trust in Christ and in his sacrifice alone for your salvation, God has forgiven. He has blotted out all your sins. Also, through faith in Christ, you and I, we have obtained peace with God. In Colossians 1, verse 20, it says there, "Having made peace through the blood of his cross," you and I, we're no longer at enmity or at war with God or estranged from God, but we've been brought into a state of reconciliation with God through faith in Christ. Also, child of God, by trusting Christ as Savior, God has broken the dominion of sin in your life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Therefore sin shall not have dominion over you." Also, by trusting Christ as Savior, the Lord has promised to be with you. In Isaiah 43, verse 5, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." He's promised to be with you right to the very end of life's journey itself. And also, through faith in Christ, God in his grace and mercy has given you a home in heaven, a place in glory. That's the great hope that you can look forward to as the child of God. In Romans 8, verse 30, it says, "Of the child of God, whom he justified, them he also glorified." Yes, with the hymn writer, believer, you can say, "We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright." Oh, believer, these are but some of the blessings of being a member of God's family, his household of faith, his spiritual house and church. And let me say that if you are still unsaved today listening, and let me say that if you are to be a member of God's spiritual house, a member of his church, his family, Then as a repentant sinner before God, you must turn to Christ. You must trust Christ as your own and personal Savior. It's not by religion, it's not by church membership, it's not by baptism or confirmation or the Lord's table that you become a member of God's spiritual household. Rather, it's by you coming as a repentant sinner before God and trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior. That is why the Lord says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, there verses 4 and 8, it speaks there of those who stumble at Christ, those who would dare to reject him as their personal Savior. In verse 4, Peter says he is disallowed indeed of men. That speaks of those who refuse Christ as Savior and refuse God's salvation through him. Again in verse 8, he describes Christ there, he says, as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. That speaks of those who will not trust Christ, those who reject him, those who will not accept God's offer of salvation through him, who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life. Let me say that if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you turn your back upon his finished work, his sacrifice for your salvation, then realize this, that you will perish in hell for your sin. My, when you leave this world out of Christ, your soul will be lost forever. It will be ushered out into a lost eternity in hell. The Bible says, he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, if you are to be wise, if you are to know the blessing of God's salvation in your heart and life for time and for eternity, then now in time you must come to Christ. Turn to him by faith and trust in his precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary for the pardoning, the cleansing away of your sin. That there's no other way to be saved apart from faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says of Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hymn writer says, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. And there they were testifying that their faith was in Christ, in the sacrifice of Christ, the blotting out of their sins before God. They were resting in the perfect righteousness of Christ for acceptance with God. Let me say that if you are to be saved, if you are to be in God's church, in his spiritual house, in his family, his household of faith, then you too must stake your whole eternity upon Christ. And his finished work, you must trust in him alone for salvation. Praise God if you call upon him for salvation, you trust him as Savior. It says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, you'll not be confounded, you'll not be disappointed. God will bless you with his so great salvation for time and for eternity. Oh, understand this, that your membership of God's church, his family, his household of faith, his spiritual house, it is by you coming in faith to Christ. It's by you putting your trust in him for our salvation. Tell me, have you come to him? Have you trusted him? Can you look back to a time in your life's experience when you came as a sinner unto Christ, trusted him for salvation? In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now you see very clearly, to be a member of God's family, his church, his spiritual household, you must receive Christ by faith. You must trust him. Accept him into your heart and life by faith to be your Savior. Christ gives you a wonderful encouragement to do so. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then once you and I are in God's spiritual house, it is to be noted that there is to be that continual coming to Christ for grace, that continual coming to Christ for blessing and for help and for strength in our Christian life and in the work of God. You notice the words there of verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 2 in particular, where it speaks of Christ and it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Those words there are in the present tense. In other words, every day of our Christian life and in all our service for God, we must look to Christ for his help, his blessing, his strength, his grace in every part and detail of our Christian life. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, we must come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. The great motto of the Protestant Reformation in Romans 1 verse 17 was the just shall live by faith. And that speaks of the continual looking to Christ and trusting in Christ. Yes, we rest upon him alone for salvation, but also the life of faith is one of depending upon him throughout our earthly days in every circumstance and situation of life. Looking to him who is our great Savior, our great I Am, the one who is altogether lovely, the great almighty Son of God. Yes, we see the foundation of God's spiritual house, the membership of God's spiritual house. But notice one final thing in connection with our text here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Notice the service of God's spiritual house. Look again at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He says, ye also as lively stones are built up at a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up, notice it, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The thing I want you to notice here is that every member of God's spiritual house or his family or his church is a priest unto God. That's the teaching of the Bible. Now, the Church of Rome wrongly teaches that its priests are those that offer up the sacrifice of the Mass, and that teaching is totally unscriptural. It is not correct. It is not in accordance with the Word of God. My Christ is our great high priest. He alone has made a sufficient and an eternal sacrifice for sin. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 12, it says, this man, that's Jesus Christ, offered one sacrifice for sins forever. However, once a person is saved by God's grace and born again of the Spirit of God, they are made a priest unto God. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, it says of the believer, and God hath made us kings and priests. A believer, this means that you are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. That's what it says there at the end of our text. 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And this is your duty, this is your portion as a member of the holy priesthood of God through Jesus Christ. This, of course, relates to our service for God as believers in the Lord. My, there is to be the sacrifice of praise and of good works. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, there the Word of God says, by him that is by the Lord Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Yes, by your praise of God, by your good works, believer, you will glorify God. You will be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ before others. And there's also to be the sacrifice of our giving to God's work. Think of the words of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. There it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Believer, child of God, it is the will of God that you and I give a tenth of our income, a tithe of our income to God's work to help forward the work of God and the cause of the gospel of Christ. That is something that pertains to all God's people. Then there is also the sacrifice of prayer and intercession. Think of what is said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Yes, by our prayers you and I are saved can be a great help and blessing to others. It has rightly been said that the prayer meeting is the powerhouse of the church of Christ. Then there's also to be in our lives the sacrifice of separation from the evil ways of this ungodly world. In Psalm 1 verse 1 it says, there, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Believer in Christ, by such a life, you and I, we will honor God. We in turn will be able to be blessed and used of God for His honor and for His glory. And then there is also to be in our lives the sacrifice of serving the Lord by whatever opportunity comes our way, in the providence and in the will of God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul there is addressing God's people. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In Psalm 100 it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Child of God, I would say to you today to get involved in God's service. Start by serving the Lord through your own local church, by whatever opportunity comes your way. Whenever you're asked to do something for the Lord, do it with all your might. And then in turn, in due season, no doubt God will open up other doors of service and utterance for you to serve the Lord and to be a witness for Him. Yes, the Christian life has often been likened unto a candle. You think of a candle, it's made for burning. It's made for shining light or setting forth light. Believer in Christ, the Lord has brought you into a spiritual house so that you might serve Him, so that you might be a witness for Him in your home and your family, through your local church, in your community where you live, in your workplace, and further afield in the providence and in the will of God. O child of God, may this be so in all of our lives, for the glory and for the honor of Christ, our blessed and our only Redeemer.